When you title the episode, Why I Am Selling My Cards, you better just jump right in and talk about what's going on, because it's what people want to hear. Every week I do a news segment on Tuesday. I know most of you people who listen to this, most of the folks out there watching this on YouTube or listening to this are probably folks who watched that news. Last one did almost 8,000 views. Pretty awesome. Thank you for that, by the way. But each one of those news things, I have a hard time not making it just an overall meme. And that's nothing wrong with memes, of course. That's just kind of what I think about when I think of the hobby now. You know? And, gets me thinking. You know, where are we going to be in the next couple of years? And, you know, with a backdrop to this episode of, you know, growing the hobby, 10Xing it, if you will. Well, why am I selling my cards? But can still tell you that I think that there are people and companies that will have some success, some fiscal and financial success in the market as it currently is situated, but I still want to sell my cards. How can I reconcile that? Well, a 10Xing of the hobby, a growing of the hobby, an increase in the amount of people who are hobby participants doesn't necessarily mean that the cards that you're holding are going to go up. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any correlation to that at all. We'd like to think there is. We'd like to think that, you know, if we're going to have more people in, that necessarily that increases the demand, right? The problem I see is that the demand is not for cards currently in people's collection, at least not the new demand that's coming in. Yeah, I mean, you want to show me some charts of Michael Jordan cards, this 15 Michael Jordan nuthugger card collectors who are selling those cards to each other, and it's just changing hands within that little Michael Jordan flip group. And that makes for nice charts, sure. Okay, there's an exception to every rule. You want to show me that one Shaq card that sold for a record because there's 10 of them and because it looks like a nice chart? Sure, I'll grant you that. There are one-offs. But I think a lot of people think like me. It's like, hey, I'm going to buy these cards. I'm going to hold these cards. I'm going to have them for a long time. And, you know, some of them I just want to keep. Some of them I want to pass on to, you know, my son. Some of them are like, all right, well, I've made some money in cards. I'm going to put it in this. And maybe this is a card that makes money. I know that sounds odd to some collectors, right? But that is a lot of why people came into this. You were able to kind of put money into something and it would, you know, potentially increase in value. Of course, there's downside. I mean, you know, some of the most fun content coming out of the Dallas Card Show this weekend is talking to people about their worst misses and hearing how they invested $10,000 in Ian Book and Desmond Ridder and Davis Mills and all the other young quarterbacks, and the cards are basically worthless now. So obviously there's a lot of that going on. Those people aren't quote unquote quitting, but I'm sure if they could get any money for those cards, they would be selling them. And that's kind of where I am, right? I have some cards that are worth money. And I'm sure they'll be worth more money down the road. But if I'm able to sell cards, a $20,000 single card, a $30,000 single card, as I sold one this weekend for more than that, one individual card, maybe the money is better spent putting that card in the stock market and letting that card generate dividends for me, letting that money generate dividends for me and grow. Whereas I think the card may also grow. It may not. It may stay flat as it has for the last couple of years while the stock market has grown a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not selling all of my cards. There are plenty of cards I've owned for a long time and I will never even think about selling. But there are those other cards. And you guys know which cards they are in your collection. We've done this collection audit stuff quite a few times. You know those cards that you're okay letting go. And you know those cards that they're going to hurt. The cards that hurt, just put back in the box. Put back in the safe. Put back in your display case. And keep them. But those other ones, those ones that you know which ones you bought, the ones you bought when you had a little extra money or you just made a sale of a card and you thought, this one could probably go up in value. This one's rare. This one, is the thesis still the same on that? Is that money better spent somewhere else? And let's layer on here, right? Because, you know, the hobby is changing, right? The landscape of this hobby, it's consistently changing, you know? There's always, you know, different stuff going on in the hobby, right? There's always a different, you know, hat being worn. There's always, you know, there's lots of different stuff in the hobby, right? And let's make sure everybody understands what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is the current state of the hobby is what gets me thinking about not wanting to have my money in it. Now, if a breaking company wanted to have me invest in them, I might put my money there. Because like I said, just because my cards might not go up in value doesn't mean there aren't people making money in this space. It's quite clear to me that the future, at least the foreseeable future, ain't that. It's breaking. And 10xing the hobby, we all thought it just meant that our cards were going to go up 10 times in value. And if I had $100,000 worth of cards, Fanatics coming, it was going to make my collection worth $1 million. No. What it means is they're going to 10x production. Because the more cards they print, the more cards they sell. The more cards they sell, the more revenue they have, and the easier it is for them to eventually possibly go public and get a valuation on their company. Maybe. It's not as easy as all that. I've oversimplified it a lot, but today's a perfect example. I record this episode an hour into the Bowman University March Madness release. And if you think I'm wrong, just go over and take a look at the Topps website and see what they do every single day printing cards. Not just the Topps now, but all the Bowman University stuff. Take a look at the Wemby stuff. I remember when they signed Wemby and it had to cost them millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. But how much of it have they already gotten back? Forget about how much Bowman University Chrome and Bowman's Best University and all the other products that he was in with his European jersey on before he even came into the league. Think of those. Those are the autos, right? You know, think of how much of that product they sold. But then on top of it, they've now had multiple Topps Now releases. I mean, you know, with his autograph on it. And you're talking about it sells out, you know, 199 of them at $2,500. I mean, they're $500,000 a pop being sold and sold out like that quick with, you know, people have a chance to get a limited number and, you know, whatever it may be. Whatever they paid Wemby, they're going to get back in spades right now, real quick. But what does that mean? What does that, is that good? Is it good for the hobby? Is it good for your collection? And that is really where my brain is today, right? Is this the space where you want to have your excess money invested? Now, let's take the flow chart a little bit, you know, to the side here. I am not saying this isn't a space to come and have fun, right? A hobby for an escape, if that's what you want. You like the cards, you want to buy what you like looking at them, you like collecting them, great. This is more of paring down that excess cash, the exposure to the hobby you have in your cards, because I want to make sure you know what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is that money may be better spent somewhere else rather than in the cards that you are holding, because I do believe there's more money coming in. I believe there is money coming into the hobby. I believe there are people coming into the hobby, but those people coming in are most likely not going to buy your Derek Jeter PC. They're most likely not going to buy your cards in your collection. They're most likely going to come in and see where all of the buzz is. They're going to come in and break. They're going to come in and look for a lottery ticket. They're going to come in and gamble. They're going to come in and buy a spot in a break or buy a box and open it and hope to hit that Connor Bedard $1 million bounty. Hope to hit that Bron Bronny one of one duel. Hope to hit one of the Fanatics 10. That's when people come in again. That has absolutely no impact on the value of the cards you're holding in your collection. And I think those cards are probably going to be flat for a little while, just like they were for a long time leading up to this most recent boom cycle. And we did an episode last week, a lot of people watched it, about why your LCS is going to close. This kind of dovetails with that. Because it's the same type of thing. We all watched a couple years of hobby growth and then card stores open and gambling happen and chases happen. And during that time, your card values were going up. But then for a long time, they were static. A lot of asset classes do that. First 10 years I owned my house, it was the same value, but the last 10 years, it's more than doubled. It's kind of the way it goes. No reason why it wouldn't happen to cards after we saw this, you know, crazy recent run-up, even with more people coming in. And I guess the conversation that I'm having, right, is, you know, what hat do I want to wear? right? I mean, what hat do I want to put on in an ever-changing landscape of the hobby, right? What do I want to do here in a hobby that continues to evolve, right? Do I want to have my money exposed to cake in the face? I guess that's the thing now. If you have a store, you invite Steve Aoki, and he throws a cake in your face. How that has anything to do with cards, I have no idea. How anyone wants to be hit in the face with a cake, point blank? I think I get it at the concerts, maybe. You know, it's part of the whole shtick. Remember that guy Gallagher who used to smash watermelons? You know, that was his thing. It was part of his show. I don't see any businesses inviting him to their store and putting plastic on the ground and saying, hey, Gallagher, smash your watermelon in my card store. For some reason in the hobby, that's content now. I guess. Folks are looking for fun ways to make some extra money. Flipping's always been a fun thing. Flipping's gotten harder. And flipping in and of itself is another fun thing to talk about. Nothing wrong with it. If that's your thing, great. We've all done it. I still would love to try to do it. If I can see a card at a table at a show that looks underpriced, pick it up, buy it, and walk down to another table at the show and sell it for more, why the hell wouldn't I do that? That's flipping. Maybe it's not done in the same minute in the same show, but that's what people are doing. You know, you're taking advantage of a market inefficiency. Nothing wrong with that. But it's getting harder. It's getting harder. And now that's why you see, with it getting harder, you see the scramble for the next way to make that money. And it's not flipping, per se. It's now, we've always had crack and try to regrade. I mean, Andrew, you know, we haven't heard from him in almost a year, but Andrew's talking about that all the time. Oh, I'm going to crack a slab, and I'm going to get that Kobe, and I'm going to put it in, and I'm going to get a better grade. Not that easy. But now, you get to rub juice on the card. You get to put your juice all over the card. You get to dip it, smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. A little polish. A little fun stuff. This is another cash grab. But all of it. Cakes in the face. Ridiculous hobby content. Flipping, cleaning, cracking, resubmitting. This is now what people come in to the hobby and see. This is now, in addition to the scams, this is now what people read about. This is now what people see. In addition to the LA Times articles by, you know, 26 Collectible, the Spiegels, and their battle with their LeBron, and the card porn nonsense that happened and the whole deal. Is this, with all of that going on, is this the right place for you to put your excess money? And the current state of the hobby for me, no matter which hat I decide to keep on, the answer to me is no. And that's why I'm selling some of my cards. Now, it's Monday. I'm making content. I'm having fun. You guys should listen, don't listen, throw it in the garbage, whatever it is, because hobbies are very subjective. There are people out there who love gluing model airplanes together and painting them to look like, you know, the exact replicas of what was going on in World War I. Some people like building train sets. My son likes Lego. There are some people out there that this is their hobby and it's their escape. I'm one of them. I have a crazy collection that I'm not talking about right now. I'm top five in several PSA set registries that I don't talk about. Maybe I will at some point, because maybe that's a side of this that should counterbalance the, hey, I'm selling my cards content. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the 80% of you out there who came in and you were buying and selling, buying with the hope that the card's value was going to go up. maybe you bought the right stuff and maybe the card's value will go up. Maybe you have a long-term horizon and maybe you bought the right cards and plan to hold them for 10, 15, 20 years. And maybe I'm just talking out of my ass. When you combine the fact that I think stuff kind of stays static, I think we're in for a little bit more economic turmoil in the second half of this year, maybe less disposable income for people. When you combine that with the fact that I think this space has gone crazy, and the legitimate money that we thought was going to come in has been replaced by carnivals, cake throwing and gambling, and coin flippy dippies and card cleaning and all the like. By the way, go right ahead and do that. It's all part of it. I have no issue with any of it. Seriously, none. I'm fascinated by Kurt's videos. I've said this to you for a year now. I think they're amazing. It's a conversation we can have for several hours over a cigar when next time I chat with you guys. But it all adds up to a space that's a little different than what it was a short while ago. It's a little different than the, I'm going to compare it to the other asset classes that might be a little more professional in the content that gets put out there. And in the face of that asset class, I come back to the same thing. And it is the you know, the one point that kind of really sells me, right? P. Ryan did a cool little live about Rolexes, his watch collection. And I started researching watches. You know what I didn't see? I didn't see any of the nonsense that I see here. I see pricing. I see, you know, information about what to collect, the difference between the different green face Rolexes. I researched the difference between a Kermit and a Starbucks and a Hulk. Didn't know about that before P. Ryan's life. Now I do. There was informational stuff. I took a minute. I looked at, you know, let's look up a hobby content. Can I find it? Sure. Wow, it's not easy. And the first stuff that pops up, why is it always someone's face like this? Now, if you're not on YouTube, I made those, you know, ooh faces. Like, ooh, my God, I'm so surprised. Or, oh, my God, I lost so much money. Or, oh, my God, my store is changing the game. Or, look what the TSA did to my cards. It's a clown show. And today, the clowns are throwing cakes at each other. I might as well make a joke of it, too. And for those of you guys who are just listening on audio, you should check it out because I've switched my hat as I talk about which hat I'm wearing. I switched my hat from a Star Stock hat to a Zero Cool hat to a collectible hat because the more things change, the more they stay the same. And as much as I want to convince myself that the hobby has turned into a joke, I think I've realized it's always been a joke. Not you guys, but the space in general. I ain't selling everything, but I sure am selling a bunch. And there's today's episode. Talk to you guys on Wednesday.